Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's L-O-N-E-S-T-A-R Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
Eating for your cycle and the possibility that maybe with the correct nutrition, you can minimize and even completely get rid of all of your PMS symptoms. Isn't that interesting? So we're going to talk to Lauren today, who is a hormone health coach, all about her new cookbook and eating for your hormones. I've been looking at all of your videos and recipes and also just the pictures of the foods that you make, which actually look really appetizing to me. And I say actually because I'm such a picky eater and it's like the greatest challenge for my husband to find anything that I'm going to be really excited about eating. So when I saw your cover of your book and I was like, that actually looks really good, that's exciting for me. And the fact that it's also great for my hormones is even better.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. And I love that too. I'm married and have three kids. So all the recipes, I tried to keep that in the forefront of creation. So like, how can I support women's hormones and also make it family friendly? So the husband will enjoy it and the kids will enjoy it and you will enjoy it, or picky eaters will enjoy it, because if it's not delicious and doesn't look appetizing, it's going to be hard to make it a consistent habit. Like, you're not going to want to do it.
It's such a challenge to find a meal or a dish that you're making that's something that everyone in your family is going to eat, even if it doesn't look the same for everyone, just that you're making certain things that the kids will eat, that your husband will eat, you know, that everybody is going to enjoy. So the idea that for so many of your dishes that you can have bits and pieces of it or the whole thing that your kids will also enjoy, it's really exciting.
Yeah. I don't know a single mom out there that wants to make multiple meals for picky eaters or
definitely not. I love this idea that eating for your hormones is something that we're even talking about, because I feel like it's, in certain cultures, it's been known for so long, but in America, we're talking about that now, which is amazing. But the knowledge around putting foods in your bodies that are also beneficial for not only how you feel and look, but also just your overall hormone health is genius, of course. But how did you even come to be interested in that or come to the awareness and knowledge of the importance around that?
Yeah, that's such a great question. So I like to refer to myself as the former poster child for PMS. So I dealt with a range of hormonal imbalance symptoms. I lost my period for 2 years in college due to undereating. Then when I got it back, it was very heavy, irregular, painful. I experienced a range of symptoms like the bloating and the breast tenderness and digestive issues and hair thinning and breakouts and mood swings were huge for me. And I just thought that was a normal part of being a woman. Like, I thought these are the cards we've all been dealt. I didn't know a single other woman that also didn't dread her period or hate her period. It just like was not talked about in a positive, empowering way. So I actually didn't know anything about my hormones or my menstrual cycle or fertility until I went back to school to specifically study women's hormone health. And it was there that I learned that while all of these symptoms are incredibly common, 90% of women report experiencing some sort of symptom, especially in the week leading up to their period. It's not normal. It's a symptom of underlying hormonal imbalances or other conditions. And we have so much more agency and autonomy over our hormones and our periods and our bodies than we're ever really taught or were taught growing up. So this was so incredibly empowering for me. And it really shifted my mindset from like that victim mode of this is just something I have to deal with every month to, wow, I can actually make these simple nutrition and lifestyle shifts and reduce or completely reverse all my symptoms and help my clients in my practice do the same. So that's what we started implementing. And then slowly over time, all of our symptoms diminished. And that was when I was like, I want this for every single woman. I want to shout this to the rooftops. There's just too many women who think we just have to deal with it. And if you think about how long we spend in our reproductive years, and if we're menstruating every month, and if half of the month is miserable, that's a large chunk of our lives. So that was really the inspiration behind creating the cookbook and empowering women with recipes that are going to support their hormones, balance their cycles, and ultimately help them feel their best and just really empowered by their bodies and their hormones.
So what you're saying is this idea that we're supposed to feel not ideal or not great leading up to our cycle. And then also during our cycle, we feel things like bloated, cramps, hormonal, et cetera. You're saying that with food, you can level all of that out because most of those symptoms are due to hormonal imbalance in our bodies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, it's normal to, we're going to experience some shifts because we do have 4 distinct hormonal fluctuations throughout our cycle, and that impacts everything in our orbit. So it impacts the types of nutrients we need. It impacts our stress response, our immune system, our gut microbiome, our reproductive function. So there's nothing it doesn't touch. So we will feel subtle shifts, but things that are really uncomfortable or painful or debilitating are actually, those are the ones that are not normal. So if it's interfering with your everyday life, if you have crazy headaches or menstrual migraines, if you have those really like heavy, painful periods and the heavy bleeding. So again, a lot of those symptoms that interfere with our lives in some way, but they've just been normalized. Those are actually not normal. And yeah, we can reduce or reverse them, especially through nutrition and food.
I love that you can do that in a way that is so simple as to just implementing changes in your diet instead of jumping on to medication or something that's different. And obviously there are people who have to get on medication and that's totally great. But the idea that you can change a lot of your experiences with how you feel as a woman around your health and your body and your cycle through food is fascinating to me.
Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
And what is the first way for someone who might be listening to this and interested in how can I change the course of my next cycle or even the cycle that I'm currently in through food? Where do you even begin?
Yeah, that's such a good question. And I think starting with the basics is important because I think when people see maybe cycle syncing or aligning with their cycle, it can feel really overwhelming at first, like, whoa, this is way too much. So I do advise starting with the basics and then really leaning into that, which I would say the basics is 1, shifting your mindset to a more inclusive approach with food versus like a restrictive takeaway approach. And specifically thinking of how we can add more nutrients to each of our meals. So if we focus on those macronutrients, those are what provide energy. Those are necessary for hormone production and facilitation. So that would be protein, fat, and carbohydrates. But I like to focus on fiber-rich complex carbohydrates. And just having a baseline knowledge of what each is and how to include it in every meal or snack. So if you're making a salad for lunch, looking at it and saying, okay, do I have a protein? Protein might be like meat or seafood or poultry or eggs or lentils or legumes. how can I add some fat to increase satiation? Maybe some avocado or some olive oil-based dressing. Do I have some fiber that's going to help balance my glucose levels and support healthy digestion? Maybe that's some sweet potatoes or some artichokes. So I think when we approach it in this way and look at it as sort of like, what can I add in that's really going to support my hormones and my energy level and my intake and my overall health, that's also going to taste good versus, oh, I can't eat this. This is bad for me. I have to take this out. This is too many carbs. That's not as much of a fun, enjoyable approach. So we want it to be easy and enjoyable so that it becomes sustainable and consistent. And that's what will make it a habit and make it stick. So if you're going to start there, I would say. And I do outline in the cookbook what each macronutrient, like a list of what each one is, like what is protein again, what is fat, as well as then the micronutrients. So the vitamins and minerals, they're all rich in, and how that also supports your hormones and fertility. But I will say, I know some people might be thinking too, do I need to count my macros or start tracking or anything? No, definitely not. I don't do that. I don't encourage it. If you do it, I think that's great if that works for you, but I think that's way too much for the everyday person. So it's really not about that. It's just, again, having sort of that baseline knowledge of what each thing is and how it supports your body and it's going to help you feel better. And then from there, then you can start to get more nuanced for each phase of your menstrual cycle. So then maybe when you're on your period, you're like, okay, I'm going to switch my chicken for some steak because it's got more iron and that's going to help me with energy during my period. So then you can start to do more of the fun little shifts. But with the basics, it's just about eating regularly and trying to add more nutrients onto your plate.
When you say eating regularly, this is a sore subject for myself and also my mom. And I don't know if it's just how I grew up, but the idea of having three meals a day and snacks in between, very much so what we want for our children. You're going to eat three really great meals a day. You're going to have healthy snacks. Obviously, if you can show your children that you're doing that, that's great. And I don't usually do that so well, but I really want to try to improve it. So what does eating regularly really look like?
Yeah. So for women in your reproductive years, I would say, again, everybody's different. Your lifestyles are different. I'm not here to like give strict rules to anyone, but for women in your reproductive years, it has been shown to be really hormone supportive, blood sugar regulating, to try and eat at least three nutrient dense meals per day. And this shifts throughout your menstrual cycle as well. So when you're in your luteal phase, the week leading up to your period, your metabolic rate increases. So you actually need to be eating more. So if you've ever been super ravenous before your period starts, you're like craving all these carbs or sugar, it's because you actually need to up your energy intake. So I'd also say if you're going to focus on like a time of your cycle or month to really make sure you're getting in those meals and snacks, it would be during that phase. It's easier for blood sugar to destabilize. And then that's when you start experiencing those symptoms like the PMS, the mood swings, the cramping, very much linked to irregular eating and blood sugar imbalance. But yeah, I would say aim for three meals a day. If you can try and eat around the same time every day, that's really helpful too, because it just sends this message of safety to your nervous system. Like, I know I'm going to eat around this time every day. Food is coming. We're all good. If you had to focus on one meal, I know fasting is very popular, but I would say, again, for women in your reproductive years, breakfast would be the most ideal one just because you've been fasting all night. So when you wake up, your blood sugar is less stable and you need to break your fast. And if you go for, say, a sugary breakfast like cereal, or maybe you skip breakfast in lieu of coffee, that's going to cause an insulin spike. That's going to cause cortisol to flood your system. And then it kind of just puts you on this roller coaster all day where it's really hard to catch up. So then you're maybe having that midday crash or like craving caffeine or sugar or snacky to kind of keep your energy stable, because it's just going like this on this roller coaster all day. So if you had to pick just one meal to sort of emphasize or focus on and getting in those nutrients, that would be the one I'd encourage to focus on most.
Okay, great. Well, you know what? I've done everything wrong today so far. And we're going to make a change. So I also want to talk about the different phases of your cycle, because I feel like it's something that you've mentioned. And also we hear so much about the different phases, especially when you're trying to get pregnant or you're in your fertile years, you're definitely more educated or aware of those different phases of your cycle. But for someone who might not be aware of the different phases that you're mentioning of when to be paying attention to what you're eating or what you're craving, can you go over what those look like?
Yeah, totally. So, and this is the way I structured the cookbook as well. So it's outlined by the four phases of the menstrual cycle, and then it's got 25 recipes per phase. So that way for people who are like, I want to start eating for my phases, but I can't keep track of all the foods. It's like, oh, I'll just turn to this phase and any of these recipes. But so if you're a woman in your reproductive years, you experience those four hormonal fluctuations throughout your menstrual cycle. And that's your menstrual phase, your follicular phase, your ovulatory phase, and your luteal phase.
Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
So starting with the menstrual phase, that's day one of your period. And at a scientific level, that is tissue injury. You're shedding your uterine lining because you're not pregnant. And then you're rebuilding a new uterine lining for your upcoming menstrual cycle. If you are pregnant, that's where the embryo will implant. So it's really important you want to replenish lost iron stores, lost minerals, and really rebuild this new uterine lining. So this is the phase. I link each phase to a season, which I think makes it a lot more intuitive for women. So your menstrual phase is like your inner winter phase, thinking like the slow cooked meat, the bone broths, the hearty stews, lots of animal protein, which has bioavailable heme iron so that your body can really like, or non-heme, so that your body can really absorb that iron. Also in traditional Chinese medicine, this is a time to really eat more warm, nourishing foods. There's like a focus on keeping your room warm. So it's just going to feel very cozy. And I don't know if you've ever noticed, like for me, if I am on my period sometimes and I have a cold smoothie or something, I just feel more bloated. Maybe that's just me, but I notice I naturally gravitate towards those warmer foods. And then from there, you go into your follicular phase. So this is like spring. It's a time of new beginnings and growth. Your follicles are maturing. Those are producing estrogen. That's getting your confidence and your mood rising. Testosterone is rising. That's stimulating your libido. Everything's getting ready for ovulation, which is the main event of your cycle, your fertile window. So this is a time to really incorporate a lot more foods you'd find right now in the spring at the spring farmers market. So leafy greens and carrots and peas and radishes and citrus and bright, colorful foods, kind of like focusing on eating the rainbow, because those foods are rich in antioxidants. Those are going to fight off free radicals and oxidative stress that could damage the egg and just support and give your egg this really healthy environment for it to eventually release in your upcoming ovulatory phase. So that's your inner summer. I say it's like your peak, you're feeling your best. It's time to connect, see and be seen. Appetite is suppressed because estrogen is a natural appetite suppressant. So you're going to find you're not as hungry maybe as in other phases, but it's still important to eat. And again, you kind of want to focus on more of those light, bright foods, think peak summer produce foods and cruciferous veggies that are going to support estrogen elimination. Because if estrogen stays too high in relation to progesterone in the last phase of your cycle, your luteal phase, that's when women experience a lot of those PMS symptoms. So focusing on that through broccoli sprouts and eating broccoli and cauliflower and cabbage, foods like that are going to support your gut and your estrogen metabolism. And then when we ovulate, one of our follicles ruptures and releases an egg into the fallopian tube. And then what I just think is so cool is that ruptured follicle turns into its own little endocrine gland, or like essentially you're growing a new organ every month, which I think is amazing that women do that. And it's called the corpus luteum, and that produces progesterone. And progesterone is like our stabilizing, maturing, relaxing, calming hormone. So it's estrogen was growing our uterine lining, and then progesterone is rendering it receptive for egg implantation. So it's just getting that lining cushy and ready in case we do have an egg that's fertilized and is going to implant. It's also a very calming, relaxing hormone. We're going to start to turn more inward. You might notice your energy starting to dip, wanting to kind of spend more time alone versus when you're ovulating and being more social. And it's also a thermogenic hormone. So that's what increases our metabolic rate, and that increases our hunger and our appetite. And that's why we might need more, a little bit more bulk in our meals or snacks. So this is our inner fall. It's kind of like you're tying up loose ends. You're really getting ready for the upcoming winter season, and you're eating more of those fall cozy foods again. So like more soup, more complex carbs, which is going to help with your mood, and like serotonin. So sweet potatoes and squash and root veggies, and kind of, again, the things you would see at the fall farmer's market, making sure you're eating enough. That's also going to help with the mood swings and the PMS. And then if you're not pregnant, then the whole cycle starts over again. But yeah, that's the four phases. So again, I think when you think of it like the four seasons, it makes it so much more intuitive. And what I think is so cool is just that when you do start to notice, it's not like you have to eat entirely this way, but I think you'll find that you're naturally craving those foods without even realizing it, or like, oh, no wonder that sounds good, or no wonder I'm hungrier, or no wonder I'm not as hungry. And I think for many women who've maybe been taught to sort of disassociate with their bodies because, no, we need to eat this or this much, you have more compassion and understanding and lean into that and be like, oh yeah, no, okay, this is, I do need to eat more. So I'm going to allow myself to have a snack or whatever it might be.
And does the routine that you talk about in your book, as far as like eating for your cycle, does that change dramatically for someone who might be trying to get pregnant or already pregnant or even postpartum?
Mm-hmm. So trying to get pregnant, you're spot on, because when you are in this rhythm with your cycle and you're rotating in a wide variety of nutrient dense foods, that's so key for fertility, because it's ultimately it's supporting ovulation, which you need to ovulate in order to get pregnant. It's supporting egg quality. It's supporting growing that uterine lining. So it's just like doing all the things you need to do in order to optimize your fertility, your pregnancy, lactation beyond, like you just want to be building up your nutrient stores. Ovulation, menstrual cycle, pregnancy, childbirth, lactation, those are the most nutritionally expensive tasks that any person will ever endure. They require nutrients. So we want to make sure we're building those stores up to help carry us through all those stages, not just fertility. When you're pregnant, you stop having a menstrual cycle because there's no need for you to try and get pregnant because you already are. So we're not trying to ovulate. The egg's already implanted. So now it's really about like supporting that egg, giving it the nutrients to help it grow and help sustain a healthy pregnancy, bring development for the baby. So you could continue eating all the recipes and foods in the cookbooks. You just wouldn't need to follow the cycle phases. You could just eat them all. And then postpartum, the first 3 months postpartum after you give birth, your hormones have been rising
nuts.
Along with pregnancy. Yeah, exactly. And then they dramatically plummet. And yeah, you experience a whole range of symptoms. But really, the first 3 months postpartum or the fourth trimester are comparative to your menstrual phase. So again, like hormones are at their lowest point, you're low energy. It's again about tissue rebuilding, healing, restoration. So focusing on those really warm, nutrient dense, like the stews, the slow cooked meats, the soups, the bone broth, things that are very healing, that are rich in amino acids. That will support that tissue repair. And that's really great for the first 3 months. And then after that, it can just vary, but if you're nursing, you want to continue also to be eating more than if you're not, because again, that requires so many nutrients. So then you might need to be adding in more snacks or more complex carbohydrates based on where you're at with that. But that would be my advice for those phases.
Yeah, it's interesting. I ate for my second and third pregnancy postpartum. I ate all warming foods in my postpartum phase. And I did not do that in my, after I had my first baby. And I felt dramatically different in my healing process the second and third time, just overall, emotionally, hormonally, my healing process, even my breastfeeding journey, like every single part of it, I felt dramatically different. Really eating all of the foods that you're talking about that are really catering to what your body needs to heal, but also in that phase of your hormones going absolutely insane.
Yeah, that's so great to hear. And yeah, I think that's such a big one because again, like I think women are conditioned, especially in our culture, maybe to focus more on like weight loss or bouncing back. And so like, I need to restrict or I need to eat these foods, but it actually is really counterintuitive for the healing process. And if you look at all these ancient traditions and cultures like traditional Chinese medicine and Ayurvedic medicine, they follow those same principles. Like a lot of the warming foods, those are also easier on digestion. So you can really like absorb the nutrients. And then again, it's like your body just completed this insane task. So it's healing on its own. Then you also have to sustain the life of another human. So it's like the most critical time to focus on repleting those nutrients. And then that's also going to help you feel better down the road and with the rest of your postpartum recovery and journey, because a lot of women, if they don't, will then experience a lot of hormonal imbalances just because they're depleted nutritionally.
It's so interesting. The idea that so many of us are walking around being really deficient in so many nutrients makes a book like yours even more needed and also just interesting for so many of us to learn and educate ourselves. Before we go, are there, in your practice and also just since coming out with your book, are there big takeaways or really surprising moments that people have had by learning about everything you have in the book and also just what you do in your practice with clients, with educating them about all of this amazing information about your hormones?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I mean, I think for women, if you never knew about your menstrual cycle before, that's a huge light bulb, life-changing moment. I know it was for me. I just couldn't believe, like, I was in my 30s and I had never been taught that about my own body. And I'm grateful I learned that before I started my pregnancy journeys too, because it can really make an impact understanding all that and knowing. I had no idea how ovulation worked. I thought you could get pregnant at any time of the month. So that knowledge in and of itself, I think is really surprising and empowering. But beyond that, I think for most women, it's just, again, that we have been really conditioned to focus on like under eating and sort of adopt these wellness trends and intense regimens and principles that are sort of rooted in restriction, and they don't actually really benefit us. When we look at who it benefits and who the studies are done on, it's men. And that's, women weren't even included in clinical research and trials until a law passed in 1993 mandating it. So that's had big repercussions for women's health, and we are still trying to catch up. But what recent research does show is that we need to be eating so much more than we thought we did. Some studies are suggesting like up to 2,600 calories per day to sustain a healthy basal metabolic rate and orchestrate ovulation and your menstrual cycle, because again, it's such a nutritionally expensive task. So I think that would be another surprising takeaway for women, that they're like, oh, I didn't realize I should be eating more and not less. And when we're eating more of these foods, it's actually going to help me find more of an effortless, healthy weight and help me feel better, and then reduce all these symptoms that, again, I thought were kind of normal, but they're actually not. So I'd say that's a pretty big one too.
Awesome. I love that. It's such an interesting concept to think like, oh, all of these symptoms that we've been in kind of conditioned to think are normal have the ability to kind of shift or to just be totally different with the implementation of a healthy diet. Of course, it makes sense when you say it out loud, but it's like we aren't taught that at a young age. So it's just like different learning. But thank you so much for this amazing conversation and also just this beautiful cookbook that I'm so excited to get my hands on and to just start whipping out some of these dishes to implement into my daily routine and also to stop having coffee in the morning only. So
I know I did that for years too. That was like maybe the toughest habit to break, but now I have it with my breakfast and it has made a huge difference in how I feel. So if you can do it, it's worth giving it a try. So
I'm going to give it a try. I'll report back on how I feel with it. Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Catherine.